Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I mean, when your team is not even really in the league anymore, it's depressing, but at a certain point, you get to, like, appreciate the NFL for just, like, having a good season, and it's, you know, but this is such a bad season. This is, like, the worst season ever.
Well, you finally won a game this week.
Yeah, but I'm rooting for them to lose at this point.
Yeah. Was there anybody in America who was happy when that game went to overtime?
I guess people who bet the over or something? I don't know. It was already over. It's frustrating.
It was way under.
You're right.
You couldn't hit the over anyway.
Maybe it could be a scoregami, though.
No, because it was 14-14 going into overtime.
Yeah.
So there's no scoregami at that point.
No. Everyone should check out the scoregami video. It's on... I think it's at JONBOIS. John Boy? John Boyus?
He's got an underscore in there. But if you follow either one of us, we both tweeted out about it yesterday.
Yeah, it's like the best thing of the whole year. Yeah.
I said that Chart Party is the best show of 2016, and you said that that video specifically is better than any movie in decades. So we both
Chart Party?
Chart Party is the show he does every week. This is just this week's episode of Chart Party.
Oh, I didn't know. He does this every week, but this is obviously the best thing he's done.
They're all good. If you're a nerd, it's
right
up my alley.
It's funny because I've seen his Twitter avi. It's like Tigger or something like that.
No, it's Hobbs from Calvin and Hobbes.
Oh, yeah. Hobbs from – you're right. The same thing, right?
They're both Tigers.
Yeah, like Hobbs was stolen from Tigger, I think. So,
I don't know.
Anyway, we're like off the rails because it's a visual thing and there's a podcast, but everyone should check that out. If you can't find it, ask me or Chester.
This is the second day in a row that we are talking on the phone. Yesterday we spoke for over an hour on the phone.
Well, we didn't speak. We yelled. We yelled for over an hour on the phone yesterday.
Yeah, but we didn't record it, which is the saddest part.
Oh, yeah. It would have been the best podcast we've ever done. No question.
Yeah. So how about we'll push that to the end of this podcast. We'll recap that argument and see if there's any resolution or if, you know, we'll figure that out. But we'll get to that at the end.
I mean, hopefully the resolution is you get hit by a car.
So you were telling me before we came on the air that one of your listeners said that you used to be nice to me on the Seinfeld podcast. What happened? Now you're rooting for my death.
Not just root for your death. I would hit on your wife at your funeral. just annoy your corpse.
Yeah.
All right. We had a big fight this week, but we're over it, I think.
It was related to the pool of pools. A lot of passion for the pool of pools.
All right. We'll talk about it at the end because the only concerns a select few dozen people.
Yeah, well, let's talk about something else for a second that only concerns a select few dozen people.
Ooh, so that's good podcasting, yeah.
Good segue. Yeah, the 32 Fans Pick'em regular season came to a close, and I sent an email to everybody updating them. Somehow I managed to pull a victory, defeat from the jaws of victory, and I was in the playoffs the entire season until the end of the final week when I somehow missed the playoff spot, and you ended up in the one seed, so you have a bye this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm in the 97th percentile on ESPN. There's probably only like 10% that do picks every week, but
yeah. So I'm in the 94th percentile on ESPN, and I know you know what the 50th percentile is on ESPN.
What?
20 points.
Oh, so nobody makes their picks. People sign up and don't make their picks.
Yeah. So the 50th percentile is 20, which means that half the people quit after 1 week. So what they should really do, they should only count people who actually actively pick every week.
Right. It's like the percentages. This is going to be super nerdy, and everyone's already shut off the podcast. But like. If you do an ESPN fantasy league and it tells you percentage owned, but like
same problem.
it doesn't factor in like NL only leagues or you know the size of the league that
way. It doesn't factor in all the people who like I have a league created on ESPN.
Yeah, but there's undroppable people and like it still doesn't work that way.
No, what I'm saying, but I have many leagues created that don't even exist. I just create them because I want to try out a draft or do something like that, and then you know instead of doing a mock draft, I just do a mock league.
Oh yeah, a public league.
There's a lot of dead leagues out there. Yeah,
a lot of dead leagues.
Yeah, but what I would like to know is to ask somebody like Zach Brooks, for example, not to call you out, Zach, but you have 110 points, which means that you are in last place in our pool among people who did not miss a week of picks. So what percentile is Zach at 110? That's what I'd be curious
about.
All right,
this is maybe the least interesting thing I've ever heard.
Anyways, so it's the playoffs this week. We got the 3-seed Bryant is facing the 10-seed Mike Clark.
Oh, we're doing more of this?
I'm just announcing the matchups this week so people know who to root for. The 4-seed Tom Ross is facing the 8-seed Dan Birkin.
At this point, I'm rooting for an asteroid to hit the Earth.
The 5-seed Jake Lewin is facing the 7-seed Eddie Johnson. Oh, the 6-seed Jake Larson is facing the 9-seed Ryan Soa. And then, because Akiva and Jeff Peskin in the 2-seed have byes, we have three-way matchups. So we have 11 David Kingston, 14 John Shapiro, 16 Jim Crumley in a three-way matchup. And then we have 12, Jeremy Island, 13, Nick Nikish, and 15, Emily Easterly, who had a tremendous comeback to grab the last playoff spot in another three-way matchup. Bad luck to all of you this week because I'm out of the playoffs, so I'm bitter.
Who cares? Hey, you're out of the playoffs and you still want to talk about this. All right, let's talk about...
Well, hold on. We do award one-third of the pot to the person who ends up with the most points. So even if you're out of the playoffs like me, you can still make a comeback.
Yeah, but what if you're listening to this and you're not in this Pick'em League? Then how does this help you?
Why are you listening to our podcast and not participating in our pools?
Okay, but there's only like 30-something people in that pool. Are you like insinuating that we have less than 40
right.
listeners?
Okay, all right. Okay, so what's our next topic of conversation?
Well, that's not a conversation. Just please give us an iTunes review. We don't have any, right? Like, we haven't gotten any in a while.
Yeah, it takes 30 seconds. All right, so let's jump right into the Week 15 games. We will do our worst to first in terms of the crappiness of the games. So we will start with the worst game of the week. The Cleveland Browns at 0-13 are going to Buffalo at 6-7. The Bills are actually still alive. They can still make the playoffs.
So, yeah, but look, at this point, any team where you're saying, well, they're actually still alive, obviously the scenario starts with assuming they win out. But even if the Bills win out, what's their path to get to the playoffs?
I'll tell you what it is.
Okay.
So if the Bills win out, that means that they also beat the Dolphins as one of those games, okay? Mm-hmm. So if they win out, all they need is for the Dolphins to lose one other game and the Broncos to lose one other game, and then they need to have a greater scoring differential than both the Dolphins and the Broncos. So it's not impossible.
No, not impossible. But they're not going to win out. It just feels like...
I mean, they're
the idea that people were even talking about benching Tyrod Taylor for EJ Manuel, like if they had some exciting rookie, I you know, no problem. 6-7, go for it.
Rex Ryan is the same coach who once announced, well, now our team's eliminated from the playoffs. And then they ended up making the playoffs that year.
Yes, and almost the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. So they're playing Cleveland at home this week. That's a win, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, RG3 was RG0 last week. He was so bad.
They're hosting the Dolphins next week. I would say that, you know, at worst, that's a toss-up, but I think they're going to win that game.
Matt Moore, they have to be a heavy favorite.
And then in Week 17, they're facing the Jets. They destroyed the Jets in Week 17 last year.
If you take out Tannehill and put in Moore, and that's three of, like, the bottom seven teams in the league.
Yeah, well, is there a huge difference between Tannehill and Moore? We'll have to wait and see.
I don't know. I mean, Moore at points in his career has been decent, but now he's, like, decrepit and...
Because the Dolphins lost Tannehill, and because the Broncos have such a tough schedule, if the Bills win out, they can make the playoffs, and it's not impossible. They have a very good scoring differential, so we'll see. But yeah, this is still a crappy game. Not much to say there. Number 15, we have San Francisco, who probably clinched the number two pick in the draft, finding a way to lose to you guys last week. And they are at Atlanta. Atlanta, you know, destroyed the Rams last week, and even if Julio sits again, they're obviously going to destroy San Francisco. So not much to say about this game.
I mean, the Niners are just so bad. I mean, the weird thing about the Niners-Jets game last week is I was watching the end of the 1 o'clock on Red Zone, you know, and normally I would be very attuned to like when is the Jet game starting, but not when they're 3-9. I don't mind missing the first 10 minutes of the game. So, but the Red Zone does something annoying sometimes, which is like they start showing the 4 o'clock games, like while the 1 o'clock games are still good, which I actually don't want to see. I never want to see. I don't know if this bothers you.
You don't want to cut to the first. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't show me Philip Rivers at the 40, which is what they do every time.
I'd rather see a replay of.
I'd rather see a commercial of a close 1 o'clock game than the 4 o'clock game. I'm not emotionally ready.
Mentally, you're right. You got to finish the 1 o'clock games and then move to the 4 o'clock games.
Totally. Unless there's one game left and it's like, you know,
nobody cares
and it's in overtime if like there's a timeout, fine. But the 1 o'clock games better essentially be over before you get into the freaking Chargers Raiders game you're showing me every week.
Yeah.
So Jets are down 14-0, and like by the time I turn it on, and I'm like, well, it's 4 minutes in and it's 14-0, and then you realize the Jets got the ball first, and they're losing 14-0 in 4 minutes, and it's like, oh, they're gonna lose. People are tweeting like Jets are on pace to lose 168-0, and
the first 5 minutes of the last two Jets games, I've never seen a team try less hard.
Yeah. I mean, they don't try hard. They have so many guys on their team that literally aren't running.
But the next 55 minutes of the Colts game was the same. This week against San Francisco, is it just that San Francisco is so bad?
So bad. I mean, they should have buried the Jets. The Jets are the number one rush defense in the NFL, and Carlos Hyde destroyed them. So they weren't even, doing anything.
All right, so that's enough talk about those two games. Atlanta, Buffalo, both at home, both need to win, and both are going to win. Let's get to games that I would grade as mediocre games, two-star games. We have the Packers at Chicago. Obviously, the Packers need to win out, or at least, you know, need to keep winning to stay alive, and they're going to do it. Although, it's a road divisional game, so that's why I have it as two stars rather than one. And Chicago's looked a little bit frisky. I mean, they almost beat the Lions in Detroit last week.
Matt Barkley is, I said last week he was good, and now he was pretty decent. I think the first game he played was good. Maybe the second, has he played three? The second he was bad, and now he was good again?
Yeah. Well, no, he was awful the first game, which is the game when he came in the middle of the game on Monday night.
But the first start. Yeah, I think Barkley at the very least has earned the backup job for next year. And again, someone, you know, there's going to be teams just like this year that end up without a quarterback, so he could be starting if the Bears don't get anybody. It really looks like there's no QBs at the in the first half of the first round. So there's no like Garoppolo should go for like 3 first round picks.
Yeah, let's wait till like, you know, the season's over to start talking about the draft. But I,
well,
I
when
get
your
it,
team is 4-9, that's all you want to talk about. You should only be talking about the draft. You guys are going to have the 20th pick. Very exciting.
No, well, we'll get to the Vikings in a second. All right. Okay, so we're both picking the Packers, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number 13, a Saturday game, a Shabbos game. So the Miami Dolphins come to visit the Jets. It's Bryce Petty and Matt Moore. Excitement. Saturday evening.
I mean, Petty stinks. His arm, he has a big arm, but he's inaccurate. He said he learned how to read defenses playing Madden, which isn't a great sign. And playing Madden, like, last year, not when he was a kid. That's how he figured out how to read, like, defenses and see what the safeties are doing. He tosses balls up. It's like a weird heavy ball, but it goes really far. He's a very unusual quarterback. He's a little fat.
Yeah. He's only thrown to Robbie Anderson also.
Right. He's only interested in Robbie Anderson. No interest in Brandon Marshall whatsoever.
Or Anunua. He ignores
Anunua. Yeah, Anunua, forget about it. And Anunua's like not even blocking as much as he used to, and he still doesn't get any passes. Brandon Marshall should get like a Congressional Medal of Honor for not losing like his cool this year at all. He's been like
he's
the team leader at this point. Yeah, he's really zen.
His sort of mental mindset went from being like a real hothead with trouble, and then he like got psychological help, and now he's like the coolest, most laid back guy in the NFL.
Yeah, I actually want to keep, even though like his skills are diminishing and he's old, I would be fine. The Jets are going to cut more veterans than like we've ever seen before because they're like $50 million over the cap.
No, but he's a great guy to have in the clubhouse. Like,
I agree,
really,
and I think he could, like, if you have a decent quarterback, he can still play. Like, the one thing, the reason the Jets were 10-6 last year is because Marshall and Decker were really good, and it's hard to stop both of them. And they had
a lot of drop picks for Fitzpatrick,
and a lot of drop. Yeah. Of course, a lot of luck, and all their wins were against bad teams, essentially, except for the Patriots game. But they won 10 games last year, and they had 10 games last season where Marshall and Decker caught touchdowns, which is insane.
Yeah. Incredible. So here's my question. So we talked last week about how it's so phenomenal to watch, like, the snow games on TV.
Yeah.
Last week, Sunday Night Football, Dallas at New York, the game is taking place, you know, less than 10 miles from my house, mm-hmm. and there was snow outside the Meadowlands, and I looked at my windows, no snow whatsoever.
Well,
so did NBC just manufacture the snow?
It's possible. Maybe it was fake. But I will say, the dusting of snow doesn't do it for me.
No, you got to have the
And the night games, it just makes me feel a little cold.
Yeah.
I like seeing the 1 o'clock Lambeau or Buffalo snow all over the field. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a dusting of snow in like New York or Cleveland at 8 o'clock. Not that Cleveland's on at 8 o'clock.
I remember once upon a time. So I drafted Antonio Gates in his rookie season in fantasy football when nobody knew who he was.
Why'd you draft him if no one knew who he was, liar?
Well, it was the last round, and I needed a random tight end, and I was like, just, you know.
Do you have proof for this?
Well, I'm telling you, the proof is my memory that in the playoffs in week 14, 15, whatever it was, San Diego played at Cleveland.
Are you sure you didn't pick him up when he was good?
San Diego had a game at Cleveland in about week 14 or 15, covered in snow. The only touchdown was Antonio Gates got open for like an 80-yard touchdown down the left sideline.
Mm-hmm.
So he got me like 15 fantasy points. Actually, now I want to go see.
Gates and Witten are going to be doing this like, you know, until they're 50.
Yeah.
It's great. Everyone else retired when they were 27.
All right, let's see. Antonio Gates, game log. Am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. No question. You probably didn't even draft him that year.
So then maybe it was 2004?
Let's see. Yeah. You should just call everyone on everything they say, because 90% of what people tell you is a lie.
Found it. Here it is. Yeah. It's 2004, his second season.
Oh, different. Like, yeah. Oh, after he was already good, you knew that he was good. I got it.
No, hold on.
He wasn't even drafted. The idea that you would have picked him up before the season.
Okay. Okay. His rookie season, he had 24 catches for 300 yards.
You shouldn't be like perpetuating this. You should be deleting this from the podcast because you lied.
Okay. It was his second year, his first relevant year. Okay. Now I'm opening up. Now I'm checking the 2004 draft. And let's see. Chester's team. Tight end Antonio Gates, 15th round.
Yeah,
fourth to
second year. No one's impressed anymore.
Yeah, it was, because nobody ever heard of him. He had 24 catches the year before.
So I called you on it, and I was right. That's all you have to say. Kiva, you called me on it, and you were right. It's ironic. Did you know that Antonio Gates used to play basketball? It's worth noting now, because I just dunked on you. All right, keep going.
Anyway, so the point is, in his breakout season, his second season, when he had 81 catches for 964 yards and 13 touchdowns, in week 14, they were at Cleveland. He had one catch for 72 yards and a touchdown, which was a fantastic way for me to win my week 14. So I guess it would have been the first round of the playoffs for me that year in our 2004 fantasy league. All right, that's enough time spent on that.
And by the way, you were dumb. If you drafted him, you were actually dumb for drafting him. Is the same league you have now?
Yeah. Okay. What were we talking about now? I'm completely distracted. Oh, so Miami at the Jets. Is it going to snow on Sunday? We don't know. Who are you picking? Any chance the Jets win?
Yeah, of course. And Matt Moore isn't good. If Matt Moore comes out and is bad, the Jets could win. You know, they're coming off a win, so maybe they have a little bit of pep in their step. I don't think the Jets will win. The truth is, with Tannehill, they played a coin toss game. The Dolphins won on a kickoff return for a touchdown. So I fear the Jets will win this game. And if the Jets win once more, they'll probably still get the sixth pick, which is where they are now. But if they win two more, it's a disaster. They're going to be in double digits.
All right, so you're picking Dolphins or Jets here?
I'm going to pick the Jets, unfortunately.
All right, I'm going to pick the Dolphins. Matt Moore is an interesting guy because usually if you're a football player, you don't have a traditional job the way most people do, you know, where you work for a company for a bunch of years. You're moving year to year. But Matt Moore has had the second-string quarterback job there for a decade. Yeah. Different guys have come and gone ahead of him, but he holds on to the number two spot.
Who, you know, is like Irvin Johnson on the Bucks. He was like always the backup center.
I have no idea who the... Sorry, the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, not the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Irvin Johnson.
He was the starter for the Wolves in 2004, the year they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
He played 8 minutes a game, but you know he's one of like the starters.
This is only Moore's sixth year on the Dolphins because he played 4 years on the Panthers first.
Oh really? Yeah. Oh, it seems like he's been around for a lot longer. All right, the number 12 game of the week is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know who are 2-11 and somehow Gus Bradley still employed. They are going to Houston. Houston, we thought was garbage when they were 6-3, when they were 6-4, when they were 6-5, when they were 6-6, and then they went into Indy and pulled off a big upset last week. And now it looks like they are in the driver's seat to win that division.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've been saying it all year, Houston's going to ruin that first week of the playoffs by...
Yeah, everybody wants to see Tennessee in that game.
Yeah, Mariota they'll lose, but he'll make something happen. He'll have a play where you'll be like, ooh, I'm very excited to see Mariota next year. He's going
to
be good.
Yeah, the only way to get Tennessee into that game is Houston has to lose at home one of the next 2 weeks, either Cincinnati next week, which is more likely, or Jacksonville this week.
Yeah.
So we'll see what
happens. I can't see Jacksonville beating a lot of people anymore, but Cincinnati is just as good as Houston, if not better.
Yeah. All right, so we're both picking Houston here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the three-star games. New Orleans at Arizona, both teams... Or actually, you know, because they lost, both teams are eliminated from the playoffs. Arizona, not mathematically, but practically speaking, they are. But it's still a good game, I think. You know, you still have two decent offenses, and you'll see a lot of points in this game. It should be fairly close. But New Orleans at Arizona, probably meaningless, but I'll pick Arizona, who will win just to keep their slimmest margins of hope alive.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the game, but the Cardinals just cut Michael Floyd, as we've been talking.
Yeah, it's a rough year for Michael Floyd because it's his walk year. He's a free agent. He's hoping to make a lot of money. You know, if you remember,
he's not going to make any money. He's like a waiver wire. Like,
well, yeah, but to talk about fantasy going into the year, John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, and Michael Floyd were like exactly next to each other in every like preseason.
Yeah, it was crazy. They were literally like three.
Yeah, and Fitzgerald, you know, obviously created a lot of gap there. And Floyd had a bad season and was injured, and now is getting DUIs, and now is unemployed. So.
Sad story all around.
Yeah, and he's a Minneapolis boy, so I feel a little bit bad for him. But all right, so New Orleans at Arizona. You're picking Arizona as well, or?
I'll pick the Cardinals. They're such a weird team. Like, there are weeks where you're like, oh, man, this Cardinals team, I remember why they were so good last year. And then there's weeks where they don't even show up.
Yeah, I mean, like when they destroyed Tampa Bay, for example, at home. Tampa Bay, a team who now has much better playoff odds than Arizona does. All right, the Thursday night game, L.A. Rams, now coached by John Fossil, at Seattle. Here's my question. Of all the weeks to fire Fisher, why are they firing him when it's 3 days turnaround for Fossil?
I hear you.
Yeah. The only reason I have this game higher than the games we've already mentioned is because of the fact that, first of all, Seattle just completely no-shows on offense randomly once in a while. And also because Seattle specifically has always had trouble with the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams games were must-watch with Jeff Fisher at this point because he became such a cartoon the last few weeks. And now it's depressing because he's gone. Supposedly the players liked him, which is bizarre.
And he is actually, he's still tweeting out a help for them for their game plan. He said, you know, you guys have to watch out for Sean Alexander and Matt Hasselbeck, Daryl Jackson.
Oh, is that a joke?
Yes, that's a joke.
Oh, my God. 100 podcasts in, you try a joke.
Oh, I thought you meant because Jeff Fisher is in, like, the Tyson zone that anything he does is actually believable.
No, I knew you were joking. I was just, like, shocked that you made a joke.
What do you mean? I make bad jokes you make fun of every week.
They must slip by me. I thought they must assume you're being serious. Holy cow.
No, you won't. All right, I don't know what's happening.
Leave the jokes to me. All right.
Okay, that's what you say every time. All right, so Seattle's going to destroy the Rams probably. Although,
oh, yeah. You know, yeah. The Rams are a strange team. Like, once in a while they do get up, usually for Seattle. But, man.
How hilarious is it that the garbage Detroit Lions are right now the 2 seed, would right now have a bye if the playoffs started today in the NFC? That's just incredible.
Yeah, you should be allowed to, if you're like the second best team in your conference, you should be allowed to get a bye, even if you don't win your division. New rule.
Well, you know, my rule, of course, is that there should only be one bye, that we should have seven playoff teams, and only the one seed should get a bye.
That might happen. They've been talking about that. I don't know why they're so – they have to almost wait for the TV deal because you make ESPN, like, pay another zillion dollars for that second playoff game on Saturday or Sunday.
It's crazy to me that that hasn't happened yet. It's just, you know, with all the expansion.
Well, so it's an extra two playoff games, so you're making you're giving ESPN another game and then NBC another game.
Better for coaches, better for everybody. The number nine game of the week – is Oakland at San Diego. Oakland, as we said, is almost certainly locked into the five seed at this point. Obviously, they have a chance if they win a bunch and Kansas City loses a bunch, but it's not going to happen. So Oakland, I think, is actually going to lose this week at San Diego. These teams always play each other pretty close. Phillip Rivers has just been abysmal the last couple weeks. He won't stop throwing interceptions.
Yeah, I don't know if the Chargers have enough. Although every time I see that Tyrell Williams, he looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's good. You like how tall and skinny he is.
He's very tall, very skinny.
Yeah. They're still close in all their games. And again, Oakland, I think, has a little bit of a letdown because after last week's loss, they have almost no way. They would have to win out and have Kansas City lose two more games. So it's not happening. They're the five seed. They're going to go at Houston or at Tennessee.
Oakland, Houston, baby. Very excited for it. Oakland, Tennessee, I would actually like. I would enjoy that game.
Oakland, Tennessee will be a good game. Oakland, Houston will be unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Derek Carr, you know, I thought we'd talk about this later, but let's talk about the MVP race right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Derek Carr, going into last week, I mean, last week's game was so abysmal. I think he averaged, 2.4 yards per attempt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was one of the worst games you've ever seen a quarterback have.
Yeah. And, although, ironically, it was better than every game David Carr ever had.
Yeah. But I think that game, he single-handedly eliminates himself from the MVP race. Right now, I have him in Chester quarterback ratings as the number nine quarterback on the season. You cannot be an MVP when you're not even a top quintile, top quarter quarterback, right? So, to me, there's no way Derek Carr can be in the MVP consideration. And so I guess we have to ask, I mean, I'll ask you first, Akiva, not who will be, but who should be. If you were voting today, who would you vote for MVP of the NFL?
I'm leaning towards Matt Ryan.
Okay.
I have no problem if you pick Brady, because I think at the end of the day, if they're the one seed and, you know, he played 12 games, I don't have a problem with Brady.
So here's the thing with Matt Ryan. Statistically, he's the number two quarterback this year behind Brady. But because of the extra four games, he has 1,000 more yards than Brady. He has 8 more touchdowns than Brady. So he does have the bigger, you know, the bigger cumulative numbers than Brady. But to me, the issue is that they're 8-5. Are you really going to reward the MVP to some team? For a team to be sort of like good but nothing special, a guy has to have like when Adrian Peterson had that historic 2,000-yard season for the Vikings.
Editor's note. At this point, we lost Akiva's audio for the next 8 minutes or so. So I will have to chime in and tell you what Akiva said at that point in the conversation.
Well, that's the thing. This year, going into last week, I had Dak Prescott. Now, and we'll get to this when we discuss the Cowboys, it's a question whether Dak Prescott should even be the starting quarterback of his team.
You know, Alex, the funny thing about the NFL is we totally change our opinions every single week. A week ago, we loved Dak Prescott. Now we want him to get benched.
Well, it's such a small sample size. You only have 16 games, so that's what's going to happen. But I just think it can't be Dak. It can't be Zeke because, you know, I tweeted this out. Jordan Howard has had better numbers than him. If anybody on the Cowboys, it's the offensive line. So even though Tom Brady missed four games, and even though they went 3-1 in those four games and would have went 4-0 if they'd had Garoppolo against Buffalo, to me, I still think it's Brady, but it's the least exciting, the least earned MVP season that we've had in a long time. Nobody really deserves it this year.
Yeah, it's like Bill Simmons says. Sometimes the award should be smaller in a given year.
It's like sometimes the Oscar goes the same way, you know. There's no great movie, and so you just give it to Crash. If the Falcons win their next three games and end 11-5, and if Matt Ryan, well, he's at 4,050 yards right now, so he can go on a tear. If he gets the 5,000 yards,
you know, Alex, I don't think there's so much excitement in the NFL about a guy hitting 5,000 yards.
It's not that it's a big round number, but he has 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. If he has 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns.
Alex, do you really think a guy can get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in three games?
Yeah, he could. 3.5 touchdowns and 300 yards a game. It's possible. I'm saying if he does that and they go 11-5, in that case, I say he's the MVP. But otherwise, it's going to be hard for Brady to lose it for me, even though, not really deserves. So, yeah, that.
Well, the thing is, the MVP award usually goes to the quarterback of a team that has a bye. So that's why it's going to be Brady, because you're not going to give it to Alex Smith, and you're not going to give it to Dak Prescott anymore. And you're not going to give it to Zeke Elliott because, as we said, it's really the offensive line. And you're not going to give it to Russell Wilson because he threw too many interceptions last week in Lambeau Field in Green Bay. What are you going to do? Give it to Matt Stafford if the Lions finish in the two seed?
Yeah, and Stafford hasn't even, like, everybody's melting over Stafford. Like, Stafford hasn't had, like, a phenomenal season. He's had phenomenal individual drives at the end of games that they've won, but his numbers aren't that great, you know. Both of the Vikings games they should have lost. It was complete bullshit, you know, thank you to Blair Walsh, obviously. And if you flip those two games, they're 7-6 and nobody's even talking about them. Yeah, I think Matt Ryan has to have an incredible last three games, otherwise it's probably going to Brady. So Oakland at San Diego. I'm picking San Diego for the upset. What about you?
I am going to pick the Oakland Raiders to travel into San Diego and win the football game in San Diego.
All right. The next game, the eighth best game of the week, is the Indianapolis Colts at the Minnesota Vikings. The Colts, with that shocking loss at home last week to Houston, they're pretty much done because they lose the tiebreaker to Houston. So they need to win out and have Houston lose. So Indy will be just about officially eliminated, mathematically eliminated, if they lose the Vikings this week. It's funny because, as I, you know, nobody was happier to see Adrian Peterson get injured than me when you know, I didn't even want him to be on the team this year. I said they could do better without him. And now I've completely reversed myself. I'm all in on Peterson. They're going to beat the Colts this week to get to 8-6. And then Peterson's playing in week 16 against the Packers. We're going to go into Green Bay and win that game. And we're going to make the playoffs because of Adrian Peterson. So I've completely reversed myself. I'm shameless. I don't care what he does to his own children as long as he, you know, runs for 100 yards behind this leaky offensive line. So I'm picking the Vikings this week, obviously. What about you?
I am going to pick the Colts to win in Minnesota. The Vikings haven't beaten anybody other than Jacksonville in about 3 months.
Well, no, they beat the Cardinals 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. To be honest, I've stopped paying attention to the NFL now that the Jets suck, so people really shouldn't be paying attention to anything I say.
Yeah, and they had two games against the Lions that, you know, anyways, all right, okay. Okay, so, but you are picking the Colts. Mark it down. Philly at Baltimore is our next game. The Eagles, you know, sort of looked like they were crashing and burning, but they had a very close game against Washington, which they could have won last week. You know, Carson Wentz had his best game in probably about a month. But the thing is, Philly has, even when they were good earlier in the year, they were much, much better at home than they were on the road. So into Baltimore, a game that Baltimore absolutely has to win. I don't see a way that Philly can. I think it'll be reasonably close, but there's no way I can see Philly winning this game.
Well, I'm not sure who to pick because the game is in Philadelphia. So maybe the Eagles have a...
No, it's in Baltimore. If it was in Philly, I would pick Phily. I picked Philly to beat Washington last week, but it's in Baltimore, so.
Oh, yes, you're right. I forgot. Well, because of that, I will take the Ravens. The Ravens are much better than the Eagles.
Yeah, well, Flacco's had two good games in a row.
By the way, Alex, I've thought of a worse Super Bowl than New York-Baltimore.
What could be worse?
If the Giants play Pittsburgh and we get Deflategate 2.0.
But Deflategate 2 came and went so quickly, I don't think it'd even be...
Well, it would be something for the media to talk about. And by the way, the Giants and Steelers' ownerships are incestuous.
Yeah, they're like intermarried with each other, literally. There's literally a person named Rooney Mara, so... A very attractive person, actually.
Very attractive.
She's still an actress. I haven't heard from her in a little while.
Well, she has short hair, so I don't know.
Cross-podcast reference. All right. My number six game of the week is the Carolina Panthers at Washington. Washington, with their win last week, that effectively eliminated the Cardinals and a bunch of other teams. The Vikings are also in an extremely bad situation. The Vikings need Carolina to go into Washington this week and win it. And so I'm going to pick Carolina because I'm desperately hoping that it'll happen. If Washington wins this game, the Vikings are in a huge amount of trouble, even if they win out. What about you? Any chance Carolina can go into Washington and win?
Carolina sucks. No chance they win.
I mean, Carolina looked really good last week. Just ignore the Seattle game, and they've looked good for the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yes, but it was hard for me to ignore that game because they looked so bad on national television.
Well, this game's on Monday Night Football again. So, Cam, I'm just begging you, please wear a tie. I don't care what kind of tie you wear. Just, you know, I need you to win this game. Okay, the number five game of the week, Tennessee at Kansas City. Who would have guessed that this would have been such a highly ranked game a month ago? But the Titans, as we said, you know, I still think that they're on the outside looking in just because they're going to lose the tiebreaker to Houston. So they need to pull some kind of – look, they've had a couple of impressive wins. They need to pull one more out of their butt somewhere. And if they win at Kansas City this week, that would be it. But Kansas City – is the much better team to me right now. Mariota had, what, like 74 yards last week? Granted, it was against Denver, but still. So I'm going to pick Kansas City to win this game.
I agree. The Chiefs are going to win.
Yeah. All right, now let's get to the four-star games. And this game was flexed into Sunday night. All right, Tampa Bay at Dallas, flexed into Sunday night. Insane that this game has been flexed. But the thing is that the Cowboys have looked so bad the last 2 weeks that it's possible. I mean, Tampa, I think, Tampa people are really overrating Tampa at this point. They've won a bunch of games in a row, but they haven't really been that impressive.
You know, Alex, I just want to say, before my audio comes back on, you know, I often make jokes on the podcast about how stupid you are, how terrible you are, how wrong you always are. But the truth is, you're always right, and I'm always wrong.
This is especially true for the fight we're going to have at the end of this week's episode. So I'm going to pretend that I think you're completely wrong, and I'm going to try to goad the listeners into agreeing with me. But secretly, I know you're right, and all the listeners know as well. So listeners, please tweet at Akiva and tell him that he was wrong, and that an NHL survivor pool will last 5 days, which would make it a waste of time. Not that an NHL wins pool is the greatest idea in the world. Perhaps we should do neither and just do something for the NHL playoffs or forget about hockey altogether because we don't live in Canada.
Yeah, so anyway, so we have the Tampa Bay Bucks going into Dallas. Dallas looked really bad the last couple weeks. Tampa Bay has been, you know, finding a way to win. There's no way they're going to win this week, right?
No, I think Tampa's going to win this game.
Oh, wow. You're picking Tampa to go into Dallas and win.
Yeah, all Dallas, right, so, is reeling a little bit.
Okay, so here's the question. Does Dak lose his job to Tony Romo?
No, stop. The footsteps get a little louder after this week, but Dak doesn't lose his job.
If they lose at home to Tampa, they had an awful game against the Vikings. He had an even worse game against the Cowboys. Like, if Tony Romo was playing last week, they would have beaten the Giants.
No, because
sure.
Tony Romo is a shell of himself, and he can barely stand up and walk. And no, they know Tony that, Romo, which Mike, is why he's not even the backup. Right? Isn't Sanchez the backup?
No, Romo's the backup now. He's back at number two.
Wasn't Sanchez active last game? Are you sure?
Romo was active, yes, on Sunday night.
He was?
Yeah, maybe. I can't imagine they'd have a third guy active. No.
There's very few teams that do that, right?
Yeah. Now. Last time we saw Tony Romo, he was the best quarterback in the NFL. He might be brittle. He might break
you're right.
It.
He has been active the last couple weeks. Yeah. I'm mistaken.
If Dallas loses at home to Tampa Bay, I guarantee you Tony Romo is starting in week 16.
Okay, fine. Just letting you know that week 17, Dak is starting again because Romo no way can hold up for a game. Again, he got like two season-ending injuries last year with like the greatest offensive line ever. He cannot stay up anymore.
Let's wait and see what happens. You're picking Tampa Bay. I'm picking Dallas. I mean, I hope Tampa wins. Well, I don't hope Tampa wins as a Vikings fan. I hope Tampa wins as like a Chaos fan.
Okay.
Because that would be great chaos.
You're a Chaos fan? That's your thing?
Yeah, number three game of the week, I have Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. The problem for Cincinnati is if they win out, they could be in the playoff race, but for the fact that Pittsburgh is playing Cleveland at home in week 17.
Yeah.
So Pittsburgh, there's no way Pittsburgh doesn't get 9 wins, which means that Cincinnati, even if they win out, they're 8-7-1. So I think Cincinnati is going to win this week. You know, Pittsburgh at Cincy is still a great rivalry. I'm going to pick the home team. You know, I'm still not letting go of the team I picked to win the Super Bowl in the preseason. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to beat Pittsburgh this weekend.
The Bengals are bad, and the Steelers are going to kill them.
Okay. All right, good. Another disagreement for us. Second game of the week, the two teams I hate the most in the league, the two worst 9-4 teams we've ever seen, the Giants, who were mediocre for 12 weeks and then beat the Cowboys because, you know, the Cowboys were terrible and because, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. had one good play. And the Lions, who were terrible for 11 weeks, had one good game in New Orleans, then were terrible again and barely beat the Bears in a game that they did not deserve to win. So Superfan Robbie, who's a Giants fan, he emailed us a bunch of Giants questions this week, so I thought we should try to answer them for him.
All right, yeah. Anything for Robbie.
Okay. All right, so first he asked how terrible Ereck Flowers is. So I looked it up. According to Pro Football Focus, Ereck Flowers was the third worst player in the NFL in week 13.
Well, are you do you subscribe to Pro Football Focus?
No, I follow them on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Fine.
I'm not paying them, but that article was a free article, so I will include the link in the podcast show notes.
I'm sure they'll be so honored.
Yeah. Ereck Flowers has been in the league for like 2 years now, and he's actually a solid tackle in the run game, I think, mm-hmm. but he's so bad at pass protection.
Yeah, that's like a problem because mostly the Giants pass; they actually can't run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So number two, Robbie acknowledged that Eli hasn't looked great, which is an understatement. Eli mm-hmm. had actually there's a great. GIF showing how the Cowboys dropping all their different interceptions on the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
I mean, Eli was just absolutely atrocious. I retweeted this, I think, but I'll drop this in the show notes as well. Pro Football Focus lists how many turnovers each player should be responsible for, which means interceptions and dropped interceptions and then fumbles. And Eli Manning is leading the league by a long shot in turnovers. He should have like 29 turnovers.
That's a lot.
He's been absolutely terrible. So Robbie says, well, he feels Eli getting hot in the playoffs. And I'm like, all right, you can feel whatever you want, but as of right now, Eli Manning is a terrible quarterback. We've seen this before. We've seen him be terrible in December and then have a decent week 17 and all of a sudden win a Super Bowl. So it could happen, but there's no evidence to indicate that that's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Number three, Robbie asked Rashad Jennings. He says, you know, he feels like Rashad Jennings is decent. So here's the thing.
No, he stinks.
Yeah. The Giants have the third worst offense in the NFL over the last 6 weeks. That's largely because of Eli, but their running game is also terrible. They're 31st in the league in rushing ahead of only the Vikings. They're 31st in yards per carry, again, ahead of only the Vikings.
Yeah, Rashad Jennings got cut tomorrow. He might not even make a different team.
Look, he had a good game against Cincinnati, and he had a good game against Chicago. But if we take those out, and I understand it's, you know, cherry-picking, take out his two best games is not fair. But if we take those two games out, he's averaging 2.5 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. Even on the season, when we include all his best games, he's averaging 3.4.
That's not great.
Yeah. To me, the eye test, Paul Perkins has looked better. But his numbers are actually identical. Last week, they were literally identical. They each had 15 carries for 45 yards against the Cowboys. On the season, Perkins is at 3.5. So I don't really know what the answer is for the Giants in the running game, which is why, again, they just have three receivers on every single down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then, you know, Robbie says, how Giants is the season going to be?
By the way, you know, the stat where the Giants have three receivers every single down, it's not a big deal. Like, their teams, like the Jets play four receivers on, like, half their downs.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a tight end.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, the Giants, their defense looks good, but it's not nearly as good as the teams that won the Super Bowl. And
no.
Here's the thing. There's no elite team. Just like we said, there's no elite candidate for the MVP. There's no elite team right now. So could the Giants win the NFC?
Well, the Patriots are elite.
Yeah, but other than but in the NFC, who's elite? The Cowboys
are pretty good.
Until the last 2 weeks when they've looked very, very average on the road against, you know, what I would call borderline playoff teams in Minnesota and the Giants. Mm-hmm. And Seattle.
Well, I call the Giants a playoff team, and I call the Vikings not a playoff team. So if you average them, they're a borderline playoff team.
I mean, the Vikings destroyed the Giants when they played each other. So on a neutral field, I take the Vikings over the Giants every single time. Again, Eli's terrible. Sam Bradford's better than Eli.
Can we organize this game? Because I'll bet like $50 million on it.
Right? We had this game already. The Vikings beat them earlier this year on Monday Night Football. Today. They destroyed them by two touchdowns.
Where was that game?
It was in Minnesota, but still they won by two touchdowns.
Neutral field.
Well, they played a game once in Detroit.
You guys like had a team then. Now you have no roster left.
No, the Vikings had all the injuries already at that point. First of all, as we've discussed before, Eli's record against the Vikings is just horrific for whatever reason.
Yeah, he sees that purple, and no matter who's on the team, whether it's John Randall or
does the purple apply to Baltimore as well? Will he have four turnovers if we see that Giant? Well, you and I won't see the Giants Ravens.
We won't see it. We're going to be out to eat or something. My dad takes my mom out to eat every year during the Super Bowl because he doesn't want to watch if the Jets aren't in it. Super husband.
I respect the play. Mm-hmm. All right, so okay, so anyway, so Pittsburgh at Cincy. I'm picking Cincy. You're picking Pittsburgh. Detroit at the Giants. Somehow, both teams deserve to lose. Maybe we'll see a tie. As a Vikings fan, all I want is whoever loses this game, I need them to lose out because the Vikings get the tiebreaker over the Giants. So if they both end up 9-7, the Vikings would make the wild card ahead of them. And Detroit, the Vikings do not have the tiebreaker, so we need the Detroit to lose out and the Vikings to win out to get ahead of Detroit. So I don't care who wins this game as long as they lose the rest of their games. Can I say I don't care, or do I have to make a pick?
No, you can say you don't care. You just get an L. You get an L for your pick.
All right, fine. I'll pick the Giants. Whatever.
Yeah, I'll go with the Giants also.
All right. What a terrible game that is. All right, and then the game of the week, clearly, although Denver's kind of reeling, New England at Denver. This game does not have the cachet it had a week or two ago, but it's more important for Denver now because we thought, they're just playing for seeding. Denver needs a win to make the playoffs.
Yeah, Denver needs a win. I think that they'll, even if they win 2 out of 3, they'll probably still be okay.
And New England needs a win for home field. And New England does not want to go to Kansas City. We've seen them lose badly to Kansas City
New England wants that one seed, obviously.
Yeah.
It's funny hearing Bill Simmons and Patriots fans stress about, like, oh, man, if we don't have the one seed, it's over. Like, we would cut off anything.
He's such an asshole.
Just to have a relevant game in week 15. I just want to play meaningful games in, like, early December, let alone late January. I mean,
Bill Simmons is a horrible person. There's no disputing that.
And I like also, like, there's not going to be, the Patriots, like, they're okay or whining about them. The minute Belichick and Brady are gone, they're going to be the worst team in the NFL for, like, 10 years. And, like, the Patriots fans are not going to talk about them. They're not going to follow them. They're going to, like, remember when the Braves were amazing and then they became bad? And, like, they were barely popular when they were amazing. So the second they became bad, they had no fans anymore. And, like, the stadium was empty the entire season. And even, like, they weren't even selling out playoff games by the end of that run because their fans were so spoiled. The Patriots fans are going to be a worse version of that when they finally become bad in, like, 2-3 years. Oh, can I give you a hot take now?
Warning. Hot take approaching.
Let me hear a hot take, sure.
A Garoppolo week one starter for the Patriots next season.
For what reason?
I just think that they're going to – he always cuts bait 1 year early. I feel like
you
he's going to
– Brady is getting cut. Brady's so the Patriots going to win this – the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl this year and then cut their quarterback.
Yes. Brady's not going to be – or he'll retire. He might retire.
I mean
– like he'll be in Trump's cabinet or something.
That is as hot a take as one can have.
Yeah. Garoppolo week one quarterback next year. Mark it down. Bet on it.
Wow. I'm not going to bet on it, but I will take note of it.
And I have the Patriots winning that game. Who do you have winning that game?
Look, I respect the hotness of that take. I'm going to have to throw in our hot take drop, which I haven't done in a while.
I've never heard it because I've never listened to the show. Yeah. But You might even be lying about it. Just like you lied about a lot of things, like drafting Antonio Gates as a rookie.
I don't know. I would have absolutely taken Denver before last week, but Denver's looked so bad. I guess I'm going to take New England. I guess so. All right. So that's all the games. Should we argue about pool of pools for a second?
Yeah. Okay. You could turn this off if you don't care about pool of pools, but this was our big fight. So we talked about the pool of pools last week, which is a series of 12 months of pools dealing with all the major sports, plus college football, college basketball, maybe one golf pool.
And we got 30 people interested.
Oh, yeah. I think we have 34 on our list already. It's going to be bigger than we thought. People seem excited about it. And the problem was that we sat down. We had a Skype call to, like, work out what the pools are going to be. And we couldn't agree on, like, literally anything.
No, we agreed on a lot.
We can't even agree on whether we agree or not.
Well, I would say part of the problem was that there were things that I thought we had agreed to. There were things that, like, on the chart were already bolded and finalized.
Yeah, that you bolded, you moron. What does that mean?
We were talking. We were both looking at the charts at the same time as we were talking.
But basically, the biggest argument we had, there was two arguments. And I'm 100% certain that anybody who's still listening, if there's one or more people who are still listening, there won't be one person who agrees with you on either argument. But the two arguments were, I wanted to do survivor pools. So, like, an MLB survivor pool, which I've been in before. Which is you pick a team every week, and they just have to win half their games. They have to go 500 or better, and then you advance. It's the same as NFL, but it's by week instead of by game. And then the NBA is by game. But the big one was the NBA and NHL.
Hold on. You're confused. Yeah, don't talk about baseball because we're only
okay. So fine. Let's ignore baseball for a second. So, and my idea, NBA pool, you pick a different team every day. Maybe we skip Thursdays because there's so few games. I have to look at the schedule. But the idea was you pick a different team every day. You can't pick the same team twice. And whoever's the longest streak wins. Your idea.
Okay. Well, hold on.
You pitch your idea.
There's two major problems with your idea. Number one, you're already making caveats. Oh, you don't pick certain days of the week, you do pick other days of the week.
But that's fine. You can make a caveat. Everyone knows that there's only two games on Thursday nights. I have to check the beginning of the season schedule because they don't go to TBS yet. But
the other problem is that there is 0%. Okay, if you have 30 people in this, the first, especially, we never even got to NBA. We were fighting about NHL. So let's focus on the NHL.
Same exact pool.
No, it's not. Because in the NHL, the best teams win 55% of the time. In the NBA, the best teams win 90%
okay,
of the
time. Okay, so I said NHL's a double elimination pool.
So then you're making it even more confusing to track who has zero losses, who has one loss, who has two losses.
Yeah, that's not so confusing. Anyone with a brain can track with zero or one losses.
Even with double elimination, the pool would be over in a week. Because half the team...
That's fine. There's a new pool in three more weeks after that. There's 12 pools.
The problem is that the whole point of the pool of pools is that every single month you're going to have the rankings from 1 to 32 or however many people are in our pool of how everybody did that month. So you don't want tons of ties. You don't want a pool where you have a 16-way tie for fourth place.
Who cares? There's one or two months that there's not a lot of separation. Happens in golf tournaments sometimes too. It's after round one and everyone's tied and then there's moving day. That's what Saturday is, moving day.
Yeah, but exactly. They don't have a golf tournament that only lasts one day. You want to have that equivalent. You want to have a pool that everybody's
No, but there's 12 pools. This is just one out of the 12 pools.
Yeah, but we're having 12 individual winners.
Who cares if it doesn't win?
We're having a point system for each one. The 12 pools are
okay, so your thing, your idea, which is so insane, Hoach, you'll try and explain it in under half hour.
My idea is very, very simple. Every single day, you pick a hockey team to win a game. That's it.
No, explain. Because
that's the whole pool.
Is much worse. You pick a different team every single day of the month, meaning even if a team like has no chance of winning and is a 14-goal underdog, you have to pick them once. You have to pick every team once.
Well,
meaning you have to map up a schedule like you're freaking John Nash.
No, you don't have to map anything out. Akiva, your pool is the exact same thing. In a survivor pool, you have to pick every team if you keep on going. The only reason you don't have to do it in your pool is because you acknowledge your pool is so bad that it's going to be done in 4 days.
That's good.
But hold on. So what is good about your pool is the fact that it'll be over really quickly.
Well, that's not good, but that's just the... That's
yeah,
just
you just said that's good about it.
I mean, but it's better than yours. It's not that my pool is the greatest thing ever invented. It's your pool is literally garbage. Okay. It's not...
Ideally, your pool would last the month. The goal is to last the month. And if it lasted the month, people would have to pick every single team the exact same way.
Yeah, but God bless the two people that are still there with 25 games in who are deciding between
the point is,
I don't know who's
my
too
pool
bad NHL
is the
team.
Exact same as your pool, except instead of ending after 3 days, it ends after the month.
There's so much homework in your pool. You have to
Akiva,
have any chance of winning, you have to map out your schedule at the beginning
out.
Of the year.
No one who
wants to lose is mapping out. Because you might get to the end and you have three teams to pick and it doesn't even work. You can't even pick them because there's so many days off. that it's like, well, I can't pick the Coyotes.
But that's the same in your pool. That's exactly the same in your pool. That's exactly the same problem.
Not because nobody's mapping out 30 days because no one's making it 30
nobody's
days.
Nobody's mapping out anything in any pool except for psychos, John Knapp's people. Nobody's
first of all,
doing
you, you don't map out 17 weeks in the NFL?
NFL Survivor, I do, but NFL Survivor is a much different thing than NHL Survivor.
I just realized you just want to win. You know you're the only person who maps out this garbage.
Hold on. I'm getting yelled at by my wife for being too loud.
Are you kidding?
Akiva, look what you've done. You're ruining my marriage.
I'm going to try to talk more quietly, Akiva, and we'll let the listeners decide. My idea is the exact same as your idea, and it has the exact same pratfalls as your idea, pitfalls, which is on certain days, there's only two or three games, and there's only two or three teams you can pick from.
Mm-hmm.
But in your pool...
Yeah, which is fun.
Okay, but all it is in my pool is every single day, you pick a team to win a game, that's it. At the end of the month, there's 30 days, everybody can get, the max is 30 points. Nobody's going to get 30 points. The winner will have like 22 points. And then second place will have 21 in 2019. Yeah. It's the same thing as yours, except that you don't get eliminated.
Okay, but it's a full-time job. It's not fun. My pool is fun. Survivor pools are fun. That's why people do them. You invented your pool, and no one would ever do it because it's awful.
Why is it a full-time job? I'm going
to
go on the NHL
standings. I have to email you a pick every single day. Let's say I'm going on vacation, and I have to like make a pick 6 days in advance. That's insane.
How is that any different from Survivor? You have to do the exact same thing.
Because if I'm the last person in Survivor, I'm happy to make my one pick, and no one's making 30 days of picks.
But only because it's going to end. But
yeah,
in the first
it's
going to
end. Because I want, if I have no chance of winning, I don't have to worry about picking.
Hold on. So according to you, if I'm going on vacation the first week of the month.
No, you can't go on vacation the first week of the month.
People can't go on vacations in our
pool. No, in both of our pools, you can't go on vacation the first week of the month. It's not
the point is, either way, okay, tonight there's four games in the NHL, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm looking at the four games in the NHL. Mm-hmm. The best team is the Penguins, so I'm just going to pick the Penguins.
Okay.
In your pool, you're going to do the exact same thing, correct?
I mean, probably.
Yeah, so we both picked the Penguins. How long did that take? 10 seconds. Looking at tomorrow's games. Tomorrow there's 8 games. Looking at the standings.
Yeah, but in my pool, I know on days 2 and 3 and 4 that I could pick whoever I want because I'm never making it to day 30. In your pool, I have to worry about the 30th day of the month.
Wait, what do you – I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
Or the 28th day because I think this pool is in February. But
wait, what do you mean you have to worry about?
Everyone else knows what I mean. Let's go to the second argument where you're even wrong.
On day 2, okay, now looking at day 2, the Blackhawks have 42 points. They're placing the Islanders, who only have 27 points, and picking the Blackhawks in day 2.
Should we do an NFL pool with your rules? Would that be more fun than the Survivor pools we do?
No, because in the NHL, that's different, because in the NFL, it is possible to last in Survivor for two reasons. First of all, there's only 16 games. Second of all, we know a lot more about the teams. And third of all, in the NFL, the best team wins the overwhelming majority of the time.
Overwhelming.
Teams go 15-1 in the NFL. No team in hockey is going to win 90% of their games, or even 80% of their games, even 70% of their games.
Okay.
That's the difference. 100%. In the NBA, if you wanted to do a Survivor pool, you could do it straight Survivor, just like in NFL. You can't do it in NHL. That's the point, because it'll be over in 4 days. That's all.
The other pool was, and this was the craziest thing anyone's ever said. So my idea was, so because we're doing monthly standings and there's an overall winner of the pool that gets at least half the money from the pool, let's say there's 30 people in the pool. So the first person, I don't know if it'd be 30, 29, 28, 27, but it might be something like that. Maybe there's a bonus for first. Maybe there's a negative for coming last. But your idea
but you're making all these caveats. You're making it more confusing. Maybe do this, maybe do that. Don't make it confusing.
I'm not making it confusing. We just haven't decided the exact rules yet because the pool hasn't been set up. And I'm not making it more confusing. It will be on paper before we start. Your idea, explain your idea.
My idea is incredibly simple. There's 12 months. Pretend you're going to school and you have a class and you have 12 tests in the month.
All right. I'm already excited. Anytime you can bring up tests when we talk about a pool, I'm excited.
There's 12 pools. Each pool is max worth 100 points. That's it. If you win, whoever is the best person that month gets 100. It's 100 out of 100. They get 100 points. Congratulations.
So far, everyone's going to be with you. Now the next thing you're going to say, people are going to throw their computers out the window. Keep going.
Okay. So let's say as an example that we decided to do the NHL pool the way that I wanted to do it.
Okay.
And the guy wins the pool. He gets 22 points. He won the month with 22 points. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He dominated everybody else. Second place only got 11 points. This guy literally doubled up the next best person.
Mm-hmm.
The way you would do it, you get 100 points for guy number one and 99 points for guy number two, or 30, 29, whatever it is.
Sure,
Okay, but the point is that there should be a award for the margin of victory. So the way I said it is, first guy gets 100 points, second guy, 11 divided by 22 is 50, he gets 50 points. Whatever percentage
what
of
the
best
score. What about the eighth place guy?
What did the eighth place guy score?
14.
14 is more than 11.
Oh, sorry, of 7.
Okay, so he gets 7 out of 22.
Yeah, so basically, you like in December, if someone was trying to figure out if they're going to win the pool or not, or come in second or not, they need like an abacus.
Well, they don't need an abacus. They get 32 points. 7 divided by 22 is 32. 32%.
So is that out of 100 or 32?
It doesn't matter. If you have it out of
whatever. It does matter because every pool is different. So,
okay. So to make
evaluating
it easy,
them the same, we're coming in second and one pool is impressive.
Exactly. And well, that's why I'm saying to make it easy, make each month out of 100. So a perfect – somebody who ran the table would get 1,200 points in our league. So each month is out of 100. The first place guy gets 100. So if the first place guy got 22 points –
nobody has a problem with the first place guy. You're avoiding the second through 30th where it's insanely confusing.
Second through 30th, they're graded on a curve relative to the first guy. That's it.
A curve divided by 100. So nobody's going to know, hey, Akiva, what do I need to do Thursday? Because, like, I don't know. It depends on 40 different factors.
No, it depends on
people want to do a lot of division when they join pools. That's what I found. I've been running pools since I was in fifth grade. And the only complaint I ever get is more division. We need more effing division for this pool.
But you're creating a pool.
You know what's fun? The SATs. That's what I want the pool to be like. The example you gave. It's like everyone likes the SATs. We're going to be exactly like the SATs. That's what you said to me.
I said that we just want to make it fair. And you agreed with me that it's more fair my way. You agreed about that.
But every pool is different. There's some pools that they're destroying, and there's some pools where it's not destroying.
Exactly. But that's why there should be a award. Because if I barely eke by a victory over you, the difference shouldn't be the exact same. But it's forgettable between first and second. What really matters is in between. Because sometimes the difference between second place and 18th place is smaller than the difference between first and second, for example. It's not fair that if I'm in 18th place by the smallest fraction of a point that I get so fewer points than the guy in fourth place, right? Like, go look at our 32 fans pick and pool, for example, right? You finish in first place. You have 132 points on the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Emily Easterly finished in 27th place with 130 points. She was basically as good as you on the season. But she's 26 spots below you because of luck, right? So I'm saying 130 divided by 132 is 98.4. If you get 100 points, Emily should get 98 points.
Anytime you could bring in 0.4, I think that makes it much more fun.
Well, hold on. You are the one who said there's nothing worse than fantasy leagues that don't use decimals. Now you're anti-decimals?
I'm not anti-decimal for fantasy league. I'm anti-decimal for, like, when you're getting to the thousands.
So if the thousands? What do you mean? Who's talking about the thousands?
Well, I'm going to win all 12 pools. That's 1,200 points. So now we're getting into 1,000.
Well, because if you have 1,200, then nobody, you don't need to worry about anything because you won in a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
You won by a mile.
Second place guy.
Well, if you won all 12 pools, then the second place guy is so far behind you. Anyway.
Maybe we should make an exemption for that. I should get all the money if I win by so much.
Again, but it's not about the margin between first and second. It's in between. It's because when you have 30 people in a pool, when you have 5 people or 10 people in a pool, it doesn't really matter. But when you have a large number of people in a pool, it's unfair for the guy in 25th place that if he got one more point, he jumps from 25th to 12th. Yeah. That's stupid. That's the point. Tough. That in the middle of the pool, there's one point makes a huge difference. And so you shouldn't, you know, whatever. I don't need to give more examples. The point is you're
wrong. Okay, here's the deal. If someone thinks Akiva's right, probably, you know, if you know how to download a podcast, I'm sure you think that I'm right. Then email us and let us know. If you think Chester's right, I guess just jump into fire and kill yourself.
But what's your actual – so your solution is that if you finish in 25th place in a given month, you get the same number of points regardless of whether you were 1 point out of 24th place or 100 points out of 24th.
Yeah, because it's fan-friendly and it's easy to follow. So many people, when I email the long pools, they'll email back and be like, just tell me what I have to do. I'll make any pick you want.
Why is yours easier to follow than mine? Either way, to answer your original question, somebody's going to say in the last month, what do I need to do to win? It's relative to what other people need to do.
My answer is I will be able to tell you, and you'll be like, well, I'll let you know on December 31st.
No, that's not true. We have both of the exact same answer. You're not
what you want to do, I understand in a perfect world is fine, but you just described the decathlon, which again went from the biggest thing on the planet where Bruce, the artist formerly known as Bruce Jenner, was literally the biggest athlete in the world in 1980. Okay. And the scoring gets into the 10,000s, and the announcers are literally figuring out on the air.
I cannot refute you, and I have no idea how they score. But my point is...
Yeah, it's the scoring is impossible, and they can't show it on television because no one knows who's winning.
Okay, but what does that have to do with our thing?
Because your scoring is the decathlon scoring. It doesn't go by how you win. It's like, there's literally a formula for like how long you throw the javelin equals X number of points.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. There's no formula.
Ironically, I would love to throw a javelin through your skull right now, so...
But we don't have a formula.
Okay.
All right, we got to stop arguing because...
I really have to go. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Again, if you think I'm right, email me. If not, I guess this is the last time you listen to the podcast. Bye.